Welcome back. 1244, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. This portion of the show is brought to you by K-Hovnanian Homes. New communities, new designs. Go to khov.com for more information. All right, it's Wednesday afternoon, back quarter to one. That means Charlie Hurt, Washington Times nuclear option columnist. I'm going to get to his column here in just a second, but Charlie, I got to ask you, knowing that you and I have talked about Joe Biden many times in the past, was that another classic moment last night when Biden looked like a circus clown behind Obama?
Yeah, and I actually don't think that it is unintentional. I think that Biden so loves the camera, so loves to be talked about, so loves to be the center of attention, that he does all that stuff exactly because he knows that all these people are looking, they're not looking at him, they're looking almost at him, and all he's got to do is a little antics, and he can grab the spotlight. And it's a fairly impressive talent for a politician to be able to do that all the time.
Yeah, you know, the only thing missing, you know, he's making all these facial gestures, and he's mouthing words, and he's pointing, and he's winking. I kept waiting for him to put his thumbs in his ears and wave his hands.
it's like a kiss. It's literally, if you put my 7-year-old up there, that is exactly what he would do. He would sort of lean in and kind of give you bug eyes and everything. But there is absolutely no difference, except that my 7-year-old is 7 years old and is not Vice President of the United States. And this guy is somehow Vice President of the United States, which will forever baffle me.
Yeah. All right, so what did you take away from the speech last night? Did you find anything good in it?
You know, Andy, I don't ever remember a time where a city union address that sounded more irrelevant and truly out of touch. I think that half of America didn't watch or listen. And if they did, they weren't, you know, they didn't get a speech that was designed for them. The speech was very small and, you know, he basically, my takeaway is that he has announced that, well, he's screwed everything up. He doesn't like Congress because Congress keeps telling him that there are problems with what he's doing. And so he's going to just do it all himself and, you know, forget Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a strange time. And I think that the result is that it's not just the people that don't particularly like him to begin with who are frustrated. I mean, the frustration is that is palpable. You feel it's all around on both sides.
Yeah.
And this talk about this game about the raising, the wages for federal workers. You know, I mean, these people, they know. And it has nothing to do with federal workers. It all has to do with their campaign to raise the minimum wage.
Yeah.
And, of course, we all want people to make more money. I would give anything for people to make more money. That's what I want. But and Democrats know this. Obama may not know. I mean, he's proven himself to be so startlingly unknowledgeable about so many basic things that maybe he doesn't know, but most Democrats, Chuck Schumer knows that raising the minimum wage is going to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that.
Yeah.
But they go out there and they lie about it, and because they know that they can lie about it, they know that they're probably, I think that they think that they're not really going to get it through, but that they can just beat that drum and portray people who want to find real ways of improving people's livelihood, you know, that they can just win campaigns against them, and it's disgusting.
Yeah. It is. I want to turn you to your column called Meet Preet, Obama's Hatchet Man Against Filmmakers. All right, I give up. Who is this guy Preet, and what does he do?
Well, he's a U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, and he's the one that brought charges against Dinesh D'Souza last week on campaign finance violations. And, of course, you know, the thing about this is, I don't doubt that Dinesh D'Souza probably is guilty. What I find interesting about it, and this is what just drives me mad, is that, first of all, this practice of filtering money to campaigns through other people is something that these big donors do all the time.
Yeah.
And it usually winds up being a very minor thing. They slapped handcuffs on this guy, dragged him into court, and set $500,000 bail. And it just sounds kind of curious to me that this is the first guy, of all the filmmakers in the world, the one that gets in trouble for this is the guy that made Obama 2016.
Yeah.
The ferociously anti-Obama documentary that became a big hit.
Yeah.
A year or so back. And then you go back and you look at some of the other stuff that Preet Bharara has prosecuted. And it's all, and again, I'm not saying that these people aren't guilty, but it is curious to me that at every turn, he winds up being able to hand some sort of victory to Eric Holder and Barack Obama here. And we saw it back in response to the Edward Snowden, the amnesty that he got from Russia. 4 months later, Bharara leveled charges against 49 Russian diplomats. In something that has been going on for decades, but they just suddenly, it became a case,
yeah.
A federal case. And again, there's no doubt in my mind that those Russian diplomats are guilty. But it starts to really tear at the legitimacy of law, the rule of law in this country. If you have a prosecutor who does things like this, and it really raises serious doubts about their credibility.
Yeah, it sure does. Folks, if you haven't read this, check it out. It's very interesting. Meet Preet, Obama's Hatchet Man Against Filmmakers. It's by Charlie Hurt. It's in today's Washington Times, and it's the nuclear option column. Charlie, always good to talk to you, my friend. Try to get some sleep. I know you were up late watching reruns of the State of the Union address. I'll see you later.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye. Charlie Hurt. It is 1251, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.